Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
And welcome to a new episode of the Geektown Behind the Scenes podcast. I'm your host, Dave Elliott, and on this episode, we feature Rich Newbold, game director on Jurassic World Evolution Complete Edition from Frontier Developments, which has recently been released on the Nintendo Switch. For those of you that haven't played Jurassic World Evolution, it's a building business management game which places you at the heart of the Jurassic franchise and lets you build your own Jurassic World. The game comes from Frontier Developments, who were also the people behind Planet Coaster, Planet Zoo, and the Roller Coaster Tycoon games. In the interview, Rich discusses the challenges of bringing a game like Jurassic World Evolution to the Switch, his favourite parts of the game, and what he might include if they were to make a Jurassic World Evolution 2. We also talk about working with the original cast of the movies who returned to voice their characters for the video game. If you'd like to hear more behind-the-scenes interviews, don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcast by searching for Geektown Radio. This will also give you our weekly Geektown Radio podcast, which brings you all the latest TV, filming and gaming news. You can also go to the website at geektown.co.uk for all your daily news stories and all the latest UK and US TV premiere dates. Here's the interview with Rich Newbold, game director from Frontier Developments, about Jurassic World Evolution Complete Edition. Well, it's wonderful to be able to sit and talk with you for a little bit. I'm a huge fan of the game and all the other games that you play. Just to give you a little background, 114 hours on Jurassic World Evolution, wow. 125 hours on Planet Coaster, and 534 hours on Planet Zoo. So
yeah. Pretty impressive, Dave.
I'm a massive, massive fan of the games. I love building games, and I have been playing them for a very, very long time. So Jurassic World Evolution, though, you've just released on the Switch. For mm-hmm. those that haven't played the game yet, do you just want to explain a bit about what it is and where it sits in the Jurassic canon?
Yes, so Jurassic World Evolution is a park building game based in the Jurassic World franchise, which allows you as a player to build dinosaur facilities, dinosaur parks, to live the dream that I grew up as being John Hammond, of building your own theme parks with dinosaurs, having guests come in and kind of taking control of how you would build those and how you would then deal with any of the disasters that might befall your park as well. So it's set in a kind of sideways canon to the film. So it's based at the same time of Jurassic World, but Jurassic World is based on Isla Nublar, one of the Costa Rican islands from the films, originally seen in Jurassic Park and then seen again in Jurassic World. And we kind of use an island chain called the Five Deaths, which the second film, Lost World, Isla Sorna, is based on. And that's one island of five, and we've kind of used a sideways canon where we're based in Jurassic World, but you're building a dinosaur park on each one of those five islands. So you start on Matanceros, you work through the four other islands, Sorna being one of them, and as you progress through the game, you're encountering different challenges on those islands. Some are different sizes, some have different environmental problems, there's different dinosaurs for you to build, but you're essentially building these Jurassic parks, these Jurassic worlds, and managing the welfare of your dinosaurs, but also dealing with the terror that might happen if a T-Rex gets out and suddenly starts eating everything. It allows you to kind of live that fantasy of running one of these parks and seeing how well you'd get on and whether the disasters of the films would befall you.
Yeah, and it does it very, very well as well. You've got the Switch version, which is out now. This is an odd game, or a difficult game potentially, to try and bring to something like the Switch, because it's not like Twitch based, it's building things, and they've done it with some other games. What were the issues for you bringing this onto the Switch?
A lot of the challenges we had with the Switch is that it's a different hardware set to what the existing consoles already had, what we've released Jurassic World Evolution on. So for us, the challenge was bringing the game and all of the content that we've released. So the Switch version is the complete edition. So it's not only got the base game in, but it also has all of the paid content that we've released over time and all of the free updates as well. So that's all in one big package. So we kind of released, put everything together to bring to the Switch. And some of the challenges were how we brought all that content to the Switch. It's a different hardware. So the challenge was mostly about the key pillars of the game. So originally the game's key pillar was authenticity. We wanted these dinosaurs to be authentic to the franchise and also the best looking dinosaurs you've ever seen in a video game. And with the Switch, that still was our key pillar, and it was how we went about achieving it. So the focus was always on how we make the dinosaurs still look as good as they can be on the Switch version, but also dealing with some of the challenges of the Switch itself, kind of the hardware differences. And that was kind of the big thing. And we were really excited to tackle that challenge. It was a great opportunity for the dev team to tackle a new thing rather than just adding new content and new features, and really kind of really excited about how it's gone. If you can hear a baby in the background crying, I apologize.
I wasn't sure if it was a baby or a cat.
That's my little girl. Just woken up from a nap. Sorry about that.
No worries at all. So when you were first developing the game, what were the most important elements to bring across from the movies?
For us, it was that, again, it's one of our key pillars, is authenticity, mostly with the dinosaurs. They're the stars of the show. They're the things that you went to go see Jurassic Park to see. They're the things that you go to see Jurassic World to see. It's making them authentic to the films themselves, but also that feeling that you had watching the film. So they felt like living creatures, and we wanted to give that depth as well in the video game. So it's not just about them always being terrorized. It's not just a T-Rex that's just going to cause terror all the time. So it's an animal that has needs and desires and requirements as well. And that was a thing we wanted to add in the game as part of the depth. So we wanted to make him feel like real things that you kind of put onto the dinosaurs whilst watching the films. They're not just a monster. They are a real animal. For me, one of the key things was the scene with the Triceratops in the first film, where you had the empathy with a sick dinosaur. It's like, okay, this is a real thing. And we wanted to really kind of bring that across as well. And really keeping it authentic with the Jurassic brand as well. So making it feel that you are in that control center from Jurassic World, that you're running Jurassic World and you're in charge of everything. And that was really a key thing for us.
Since you sort of first did the game and where we are now in 2020, they're always finding more new and different things about dinosaurs. You've evolved the look of the dinosaurs throughout the runners well to a certain extent to sort of improve them, you know, because you want them to be as authentic as they can be.
Yeah. So for us, they're always authentic to the Jurassic films first rather than the science. So I know since Jurassic Park came out, science has gone what in kind of certain details about the way they look. But we always make sure that our dinosaurs look like a dinosaur you would see in the Jurassic movies first rather than being wholly scientific accurate. That's always kind of the first base we work on. But then we start to seed in what science is learning about them as well into some of the thinkings we do. So my art director is such a big fan of dinosaurs, and he wants to make sure they are as scientifically as accurate as possible, but he makes sure they're Jurassic first. So we always stick to that look. And we have a great opportunity with Jurassic World Evolution because we're not just limited to just the dinosaurs you see on film. So we have those, obviously, because they're the ones that we all know. But we then have added so many dinosaurs that we've never seen in films before, but we can then design ourselves. We concept them. We take the science. We take the bones and the drawings that we see in real science, and we kind of base our versions on that as well. So we try and make sure they're as accurate as possible to the science.
So, obvious question, but do you have a favourite dinosaur in the game?
I do, and it's people are like, oh, what's Fred Nelson? I'm like, people expect me to say something really terrifying. So it's the Triceratops, because it might seem a boring dinosaur, but it's one of those ones that I emotionally connected to when I first watched Jurassic Park when I was younger, because of that scene where Ellie and Alan Grant are seeing a sick dinosaur. I think it was that first moment that they felt real. And as a kid growing up, you got all your dinosaur toys and all your books, but that was the first time they went from just being a drawing to something you can imagine walking outside and seeing in your parks or your zoos, things like that. And that made it real. And that emotional connection with the Triceratops stays to this day. And we've added so many exciting dinosaurs, and that's always the one that kind of is always the one I go to first. But one of the more recent ones that we added as part of the paid update was the Allura Titan. And that one I really like the look of, because it has an iconic fin that's kind of has real great depth of color coming through. It has quite a varied bright color to it. And that really appealed to me as well, because it was one of those dinosaurs that's not just the traditional dinosaur style of being a bit muted brown, it had a bit of color and a bit of personality to it. So that's one that I like in the game as well.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have a favorite level or island that you've done on the game?
So out of all the levels we've done, I really like Isla Peña, I think it is, which is the smallest one of the five deaths, because it's got such a small real estate that the decisions I'm making of what I'm building and where I'm building them really matter. And how I'm going to choose which dinosaurs to combine together to maximize the amount of the dinosaur rating in the park, because that's the thing that drives your guests, the number of guests in your park is how your dinosaurs are rated. So that's the thing that always is a good challenge for me, is trying to make sure that I have the best combination of dinosaurs, but I'm also pushing the needle as to which ones are going to start having conflicts or if they're going to be unhappy and then start escaping. So I always like Isla Peña for that.
Outside of just the dinosaurs themselves, do you have any other sort of favorite elements of the game?
I really like the park teams. So as part of you building the Jurassic World, you've got your dinosaurs and you're worrying about making sure your guests can see them. Game has an element of something called the park team. So we have the ranger teams and the ACU, the asset containment unit. And they're the tools that you use to make sure that your dinosaurs are happy or kept in place if they escape. And I always liked those elements where you can actually, it's not just about you assigning a team and going, okay, this helicopter, go deal with that T-Rex, it's stampeding through guests. The key element that I really enjoy was we added the ability for you to take direct control of those teams.
Yeah.
So if you are really busy or it's a big park and you've got something happening in one corner, but you're working on something here, you can be like, okay, go deal with that. But if you have the time or they're just not doing it as quick as you need them to, you take control, you're the gunner, you're in the back seat, you're dealing with that T-Rex. You're the one that's taking it down, and you can probably do it quicker and faster than the AI can. So I've always liked that element where I can choose whether to be in direct control or not, and I like that choice, and depending on which suits me, because I didn't want that frustration of players of trying to get the AI to do something and they're just not quite doing it as quick as you want it to. So you being in direct control is definitely one of my favorite bits.
It's great to be able to get in the jeeps and drive the jeeps around. Yeah. As well, that's such good fun.
And it's just trying to get that feeling of being up close to something like the Brachiosaurus as well, where they're so big and imposing, and you're driving alongside them as well as they're walking around. It's a great feeling.
Yeah. You managed to get a lot of the original voice cast as well back to do the voices of the various people that you're doing missions for. How was that experience? Did you actually get to go and do the voice recordings, be involved with the voice recordings yourself, or was that sort of, you sent a script off and it came back?
No. I've mentioned before, the authenticity is not just about the dinosaurs. Getting those characters back was a key thing for us. So it's been great to have Jeff Goldblum playing Ian Malcolm, BD Wong playing Dr. Wu, and Bryce Dallas Howard playing Claire Dering in the main game. And then with the PDLCs, we added Laura Dern and Sam Neill playing Ellie Sattler and Alan Grant from the Jurassic Park movies. And that was such an exciting bit for us, such a key moment, was having those characters in and you're interacting with them just to make it feel so real. And one of the big parts of the main game was me looking after that stuff. So it was, I had to go to all the voice recording sessions to help direct them and give feedback on their characters. So we would write scripts with a script writer that we worked with on the game, and then they would go into the sessions and read those slides out and perform them in their characters. And it was so great working with them and sitting there with them, because they have such a passion and love for their characters, and they were giving us some feedback on the lines we'd written and making sure that they were appropriate to the characters that they've been, some of those, BD Wong's been playing Dr. Wu for decades now, so he really knows that character well. Mm. He's done it in a lot of films now, so it was great to have his insight in what Dr. Wu would be saying at certain points, and having that kind of feel when you're in a voice recording session with Laura Dern and she's playing Ellie Sattler, you're sat there and you're like, yeah, this is incredible. I never thought that I would go from just watching a movie in the cinema so long ago to I'm now watching her play this character, and it was so great to kind of sit there and interact with them as they're doing these recordings. Yeah,
that's a fantastic experience. As I mentioned at the top of the interview, I'm a huge fan of the Planet Coaster games, Planet Zoo. One of the things that sort of differs in Jurassic World Evolution to those games is the pre-built designs of things like the shops, and because it's much less expansive than it is with the Planet games, where you can kind of literally build anything. What was the decision that led you to do it that way with pre-built items rather than stuff that people can build themselves? I did wonder if it was maybe to do with the licensing, because maybe they didn't want you to be able to build anything from it.
For us, it was partly to do with accessibility. We wanted the players to be able to quickly put down key buildings, and right. The focus was on the dinosaurs. They're the stars of our show. So it was about building a park to help provide an environment for your dinosaurs to thrive in. So the buildings we gave people were pre-built, but allowed them to set up the infrastructure required for a park. So we wanted the real focus to be on the dinosaurs, but it means that players can quickly get into that without spending a lot of time building intricate designs. So it was a choice we made there to kind of simplify that, but allow us to focus more on the dinosaur welfare side. And yeah, the game came out on three platforms at once and on the consoles as well at that point. So
yeah.
we wanted to make sure that those players that were playing it with the pad had something really simple to use. Obviously, Planet Coaster has come out on the console now and they spent a lot of time making sure that system worked. But for us, we wanted to then make sure it was accessible and picks up for any player on any platform and any input. So we made sure that the game worked on gamepad and mouse and keyboard seamlessly on the PC as well. So we always try and make it as accessible as possible to as big an audience as possible.
Right. Yeah. No, that makes perfect sense. So I know you can't say if you're developing a sequel because I know you've not announced anything, but if you did, what elements would you like to add to it over what you've done on the original game?
There's always things you wanted to have done. You only have so much time and people and you have to make decisions at the time. I think there's probably some things we'd probably do within that customization point that you've already mentioned is providing a bit more for players to be able to do and customize and making those parks feel a bit more individual.
Yeah.
But yeah, there's always, a video game is never finished. You just ship it.
I know.
In a dismissive way, you just ship it. But you have to let it go at some point. But yeah.
No, it's the old thing about art is never finished. It's only ever imagined. Yeah, no,
games, it's the truest thing I've ever heard for video games as well as art. It's just like, yeah, you just have to let it go eventually.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So two last questions. We usually cover a lot of TV shows on the site, so they're always TV related usually, but obviously I've tweaked them slightly. So what other games are you playing at the moment other than your own, obviously?
So I'm really loving Spiritfarer. So I've been playing it on Game Pass with my four-year-old son. And it's such a beautiful game. It's so charming. And we get this little boat and we're building a boat and we're growing things and we're doing tasks and making food. And it's just such a nice experience that I'm really loving Spiritfarer. And it's been great for my son to play as well because he can do simple things like tend the garden or make sure everything's watered. And it's just a nice way to kind of get him into a video game. The tone is a bit dark if you drill down a bit, but like top level, it's just such a beautiful game to look at as well. So yeah, that's one I've been playing a lot of recently.
That's brilliant. And if you could get hold of any TV or film license to turn into a game other than the Jurassic ones, obviously, which would it be?
I'd probably go with Justified. I love Justified. It's such a good TV show. And I think I would love to do something with Justified where you're working for the Marshall Service and it's maybe a bit open world and you go to different towns and villages in that area. That kind of feeling of America where everything's quite far away and you're investigating things, and also then you have jewels and things like that. So I think it's just because I want to be Timothy Oliphant in Justified.
Yeah,
I mean, he's just so cool. Maybe you'd have modes where you're like, you're having a jewel, and you tip your hat, and then you put your hand on your belt buckle, and it's all tense. That'd be good. I'd probably do that. I'm going to maybe pitch that to the VFX guys, see if I can get the Justified license by my own dev studio. But yeah,
awesome.
That'd be great.
Great choice. Wonderful. Thank you for spending the time to talk to me. It's been a pleasure.
Nice.
I'm such a fan of the games and, you know, long may they continue. I will go back to building I'm building a version of the Huntington Gardens in LA in Planet Zoo at the moment. So that's my big project.
That's all the hours there.
That is, yeah. A lot of them. Awesome.
No, thank you very much for your time.
No worries. Thanks.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.